5, 4, we have ignition. All engines are running. We have liftoff. We have liftoff.
Hello, can anybody hear me? Let me know if you guys can hear me. We are having technical difficulties tonight. Yes, okay, I got to call Janine. All right, Janine, you know what? Let's not do, Janine, call in. Oh, let me, somebody type to Janine, call in. Wait, here I will. Call in day. Yes, okay, this is good. I know. Call. Janine's writing, they hear me. And you guys hear me. We have wonderful things to share. I'm so glad this didn't turn out to be a... Oh, look. Thanks, Alan. You're so cute. We're so glad you're here, Alan. And Lala's here. And Gemini's here. I'm so glad. Okay, so... Yay! Hi, Gemini. Sound is here. We have sound. It was actually on my end. I don't know why. Okay, Janine's going to call in. I guess you guys heard the song. So, I mean, there she is. We're not going to play the song. Hello?
Hi there.
Hey, okay, good.
Yay.
Now, you guys hear Janine?
Hello?
Here, I'm just changing to my my radio stuff. Okay. So hopefully.
Yeah, so here we are from the vortex.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, me and Janine were on the phone and we could see you in the chat room and we were behind the membrane. It was like, because all of a sudden Janine goes, hey, it's 8 o'clock. Like, we didn't hear the Blog Talk Radio intro. We didn't hear the song. Nope, we didn't hear any of it. And we're like, don't go away. We're trying. So, I'm so glad it worked out. Yay! And I just found out, too, for any other, any other Blog Talk Radio hosts out there, if you hang up during a show, there's a button that says end episode or continue. Hit continue, and it lets you actually hang up the phone and then call back in. And that is a new thing. It used to be if you hung up the show from Blog Talk Radio, that was it. You lost it for the day. And that's why, you know, nobody's really quick to hang up. Okay, anyways, welcome to Mystical Mother Show, where, by golly, anything can happen, and you got to be quick on your feet.
Right.
And with me tonight is the incredibly quick rabbit, a.k.a. Sean, a.k.a. Jaybird, a.k.a. Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hi, everyone. Thanks. Hi, Goldie. It's ice raining here in New Jersey. And Alan, my web guy, is just down the road working on my website, and I see he's on. And that's great. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Alan. We're so glad you're here.
So, yeah.
So the weather's still definitely, I think the weather's actually crazy, well, throughout the whole planet. It's not even just America. You know, it is, it's definitely, well, and let's define crazy. And see, and this is really interesting because I was thinking about this. Actually, I wasn't thinking about this today, but the last time I was in the woods, you guys remember when George had in one of his talks that he had been to, I believe, the collider, where they're colliding the
tunnel?
Proton, the big 28-mile thing, and that he had seen paperwork that essentially said every element on the elemental chart was breaking down. Right,
it was destabilizing.
That's what. Yes. Well, you know, it's like, you know, things like that kind of stick to me like flypaper.
Yeah, no, that's something to remember.
Well, indeed. It's exactly right, because the things becoming destable, like the weather, these sinkholes. You know, I'm watching Mother Earth, and I'm so glad. See, this is such a good segue into something that I did actually get a hit on today. So everything's becoming unstable, and it's funny. I don't remember where I heard it from, what I was listening to, but somebody I wouldn't expect to say it was like, you know, you really got to be keen on the processing of information right now, the processing of, like I often look at myself as I'm just a vibrating being, and I take in these vibrations, and then my life and my experience in my world is the definition that I have of the vibrations coming in, like the toroid. Because one of the things I've been noticing lately is that I can't go to like spiritlibrary.com anymore, because the way they're processing, like almost all of them, the way they're processing life right now, it just feels like it's old stuff being turned in a new way. I can sense it's not current,
it's not alive, maybe, or
okay, no, and you're right, it's not alive in the sense where, no, see, it's not alive. It's because, like, because when I pull another piece, I get that, you know, these fourth dimensional beings that, you know, I'm always talking about, you know, I'm doing my best to make sure that, you know, when I'm dealing with them, I just want to have acute awareness that I'm dealing with them. And my presence is my best and biggest ally. So one of the things that I've heard plenty of people say, not just George even, that these fourth dimensional beings have been like separated in this fourth dimension, you know, for epochs, you know, like millions and millions of years. And ultimately, they can create, let me put it this way, they can manipulate what's already there. They cannot create from nothing. They can only take what's there. And
Right.
And that's how these channelings and these shares on Spirit Library feel to me. It's like, you know, it's like when George came on the show last week and shared the idea that, you know, they're going to start working us through the position of they're going to talk about Mother Earth as dying. You know, I that just went right in, and I was like, of course. I mean, like, that is what I call, it's a new perception, even though it's so weird because I get it. See, George gets it from working all of what's there, but it you can feel that his presence comes in to help him witness that realization. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah.
It's hard to explain because I think it's often what me and Janine talk about. It's just these feelings. So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, no, what I was going to say even about the elements that I remember him saying that, and it, you know, you can say something like that and then you can, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but you realize, no, that is a big deal because, and it reminds us that what we took as sort of, a never-changing system or, you know, these things are stable and they will never change. That's not true anymore, you know, and those kinds of things of just recognizing that even those states of electrolytes, which, you know, and compounds that all create all those what are they called? They're called, what's that chart called of those things? That,
yeah,
you know,
it's like the elemental chart.
Yeah, the elements, right. You take it for granted that, oh, that's always the way they're going to be, and but that's not true. You know, it's fluctuating, it's changing, that's the organic, you know, and so.
Well, exactly. Okay, so I got a hit on this, right? So today I'm in the woods and, okay, I'm going to try my best to explain this, and you help me the divine feminine is awakening, right? I mean, George helped clarify that when he said the end of the cycle is about it. The divine wait, I wrote it down. The end of the sacrifice of the feminine.
Okay.
And how that struck me was that the feminine being the planet has. Just one aspect of it has allowed so many anti-life things to happen on her and in her body. And it appeared to me that the masculine sees, because she didn't do anything to stop these anti-life things, the masculine sees it as, she doesn't have the power to do it. And what was actually taking place was her commitment to saying she wouldn't do it until the end of the cycle. She, you know, until the beginning cycle, she gave us, she was quite aware that she signed a contract that said, I'm going to allow this to play out in and on my body. And it's like, the subtle difference is that, so the masculine in its, and I'm talking about the corrupted masculine, in its arrogance, doesn't think the divine feminine even has anything to fight with. You know, it's like, it's so arrogant because she's been so devoted to the commitment that what she said, you know, she was like, what she chose, which was to allow us to go into, you know, truly the dark ages. And so, but now that she's waking up, it's like the ultimate element of surprise is not using a masculine way to get your way right now, because it's about really understanding the feminine, but not from, well, let me, no, I'm not going to say what it's not from. We're going to go with what it's from. Understanding the feminine in that whole commitment. Lately, I've been very drawn to the idea of the commitment. The commitment that integrity, you know, has value, and the commitment that what I believe is happening, which is the birthing of a new humanity, is happening. It's like commitments to really what I used to think were big dreams, which at this point I don't think they're so big as much as they're, it's a divine timing that these dreams are very real. These dimensions are very real, and the path to get there is very real. And, you know, it's like I just got the sense that the many people, including women, underestimate the feminine because she's allowed things to take place on her. But what they're not seeing is just shift that perspective. Really what she was doing was honoring her commitment to us having this polarized journey on her being. You know, it's like, it wasn't, you know, and I know George has spoken about this. I guess it was just me getting it at a deeper level.
Yeah,
that, you know, that it's the commitment, because when me and Janine were kind of chuckling today, I saw a Abraham Hicks video talking about a guy who was in a lot of debt. It was a video about money, and I had said to Janine last week that there was something inside of me going, you know, I'm super glad I got this job, and you know, I'm you know, making pretty good money, very good money for my standards and what my needs are. And I was looking at myself feeling better about the job because, you know, kind of like I shared last week, money is a part of the matrix, and I want to look at that going, why is that money making you feel better? What part of me is still in the matrix? Because in truth, even when I feel good, if it's supporting the matrix, I want to look at that, track it, and in all honest and humble opinion, pull myself out, even though it feels good. And so what do I pull out from? Do I quit the job, or do I quit feeding the matrix with my feeling good about money? And for the moment, I'm just not going to feed the matrix, because the truth is, okay, so what am I going to do with my money? That's also one of it, you know. But
it's interesting because, I mean, this isn't all something that just popped in was there's a certain organic, natural living, you know, where George even said you leave and even when you leave, you come back in. So I think it's about more like, you know, perhaps we're like the particles. We've destabilized the old way of being, and now we're, you know, kind of a new figuration of you know, of our what are those electrons and you know, and you can be here, but not necessarily have the same programs running like they used to run you, where you're here, but you're living, you know, it's that living outside of the, what is that saying? You can be.
Be in the world, but not of the world.
But not of the world or something.
Exactly.
Right, and I think that, you know, like for me, it was like, well, if you're in some kind of flow, that's the organic, alive flow, you're doing what you do, which is helping raise a little baby. You get paid for your time. And then you don't even kind of overthink what you do with the money. You just sort of do with the money as it is, you know, as it is needed, whether it's like, oh, I got to get to the thing, so I'll put gas in my car. Oh, I got to buy groceries, so I'll buy groceries. Oh, I got to pay that, so I buy that. But it's not like this, maybe it loses this, you know, this overthinking it or tension or worry or let me get ahead of myself and make sure. It just sort of flows. I mean, that's just, to me, a different way of living than the old way of, you know, how we've been conditioned, which causes, I think, us from not being present, you know, because we're always ahead of ourselves and overthinking everything. And, you know, I kind of had a realization, and maybe tonight will be the night that Goldie and I are trying to touch new topics in another way, and we're not quite articulating it, but I'll give it a go.
Oh, right on, exactly.
Because that just means this stuff is real current and real new.
Absolutely, that's exactly.
And, you know, we're on the edges of, like, you know, the discovery of another way. So I never mind that I'm going, now let's see if I can describe this. But, you know, a moment where I just got another, you know, money's kind of a funny thing, you know, that it seems to be up and it's tax time, but perhaps because we're moving into a deep feminine nature energy where the sacrifice of the feminine is coming to an end, and that's a really good thing, you know, maybe this whole money issue it will be addressed, is needed to be addressed, because it's not it's not in the flow of that kind of life, but it can be a part of it. It's just not the old way of dealing with it isn't working, or is it really natural anymore? So, or maybe it never was natural. But I just saw how money really has a weird place in a lot of people's lives, and you know, when it becomes your measuring tool, I just don't see that to be healthy, natural, a way of being present. It's just too much of a dominating feature, you know. And so, I was just coming into my own, less resistant, calmer, less worrying, because in the last 2 weeks, I seem to be in a heightened state of, like, discomfort about it all, you know. And I even joked about it today, saying to a friend of mine, I went, I almost called you to say, artist in crisis.
Oh.
but I did it, you know. I was like,
but you're feeling it. I mean,
well, I was. I'm not now, but I really did feel like artist in crisis. Oh, and you know, and my great mother, man, she's this morning. She goes, oh, you're tougher than you think. And I'm like, oh, that's thank you. But
yeah, right,
you know,
right on.
It was, and you know, mother, isn't that great? You know, it's like, who doesn't need to hear that, you know? But I was, you know, and whether it was the solar flares, because I really saw that, the coming into the ending of the sacrifice of the feminine, but I was feeling very heightened in a tension way, and it was pretty strong for about 10 to 12 days. And there was a peak moment where it was like 5 days, and then I could feel myself coming out of it, getting lighter, kind of being able to joke about it all,
right,
coming into new understandings, you know. And I wouldn't say they're like blasts of understandings. They're more subtle and refined to me. They're, you know, and what I even said to a friend today about those solar flares, I was like, you know, the sun coming at us is a friendly thing. Sun consciousness.
Absolutely.
Is a good thing. That's
it's
like
soul. It's soul.
Right. So it's like that should be well received, and you know, and to take advantage of the fact that you probably can really understand new understandings because of that energy coming in. You know, who doesn't welcome sun consciousness? You know, when I first heard, you know, that the sun is a living consciousness, I was like, that is incredible. You know, and you know, so now I when I hear solar flares, sun coming at us, I'm like, good, you know.
Right.
But there's a way of working with it, which when everything else was going on, I was in a state, you know, and Goldie knew it, and you know, it was intense.
Yeah, no, it is intense, and it seems to happen in waves.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody waving, you know, being affected by it whenever it is that they're affected by it. Because now, just so
and
you know, too, the sun is the umbilical cord into the womb. You know, it's like when we get births from the sun, that's literally the center of the galaxy, i.e. the mother that's birthing, the Milky Way is birthing the planets, and the umbilical cord is the sun. And, you know, again, something George said that I'll never forget is that when the mother, any mother is getting ready for the child to give birth or the baby to come out, before it does, it sends it a ton of energy, literally to stimulate it so it can then go through the compression of the canal, the birth canal, which is going to be challenging.
Right.
But it's first organically sends it here. I'm going to give you a, you know, a bzzz,
right,
however,
right.
You know, to kind of, you know.
Interesting.
Kinda,
that's interesting.
So when things start happening on the sun, that's, you know, it piques my interest because, like, okay, is this that before the birth? I don't know. Because, you know, you got to see. I have a feeling intuitively we'll know. And, you know, it could be the start. Again, because this is a galactic birth, you know, that could be like, that could last for a month. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't know the scale from doing it from a human birth. I know, meaning I know it makes sense, but so okay, a human mother might only do that for 5 minutes to a baby, so to speak. Where I don't know, a galaxy might do that for 5 months. You know, I mean, who knows what the scale is. But
yeah, you're right, and you're right. This is in the bigger picture of us here and the sun there and this change of, you know, the equinox, but it has been happening. It's not just like,
right.
But there is this, does seem that there's this pinnacle or peak occurring with the sun, with the equinox, with, you know, I'll even share that, and I shared this with Goldie, and, you know, that I stood up for a woman friend, and I put myself in, you know, in a position to just stand up for her legally so she could be protected. And, you know, when I look back now and I helped, it was hard. It wasn't hard. It was intense. And I look now and I discussed it with Goldie, but I look back now and that was just a week ago. And I go, look at the timing of that, you know,
yeah.
I stood up and helped
yeah.
a woman, and put myself, you know, in a position that was, I don't know, it was kind of warrior work in a way, but female warrior. And it just seems so timely, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, though, you know, I love what Goldie said before, because there's a certain commitment that you have that you just, you know, like the earth did, where you hold to it, and
her integrity is so impeccable that, you know, to allow herself to be raped and pillaged, you know, because, you know, on some level she knew it was going to happen and said, I can speak for myself, there is such strength in knowing that from her, because as I sit in the forest and entrain my energy to her energy, I don't entrain my energy to a victim. You know, Earth is not a victim of these trials and a victim of
no.
Horrendous acts. Earth is a facilitator and a phenomenal, courageous, strong,
yeah.
unconditionally loving facilitator. And I am that, and she is me. You know, this is inside of us. And when you commune in nature, you really do become this. You know, it's so funny. I see people throwing the term goddess around, I mean, all the time. And, you know, it's the love and lighters and stuff. And, you know, I whatever. You know, I mean, real goddesses are, it's just like I've been saying for weeks, you know, we're showing up to the gate, we are
right.
beaten, we are tired, you know, we are scraped, and you know, we show,
yeah.
but, and here's the thing, and when we get there, we're neutral.
Yeah.
I mean, we're truly, truly neutral about the situations, because there's also the wisdom, and I know, Mother, the wisdom to know that what is ours to take back. And, you know, if at this point in time, in this frequency, I got to read something. If you can't look yourself in the mirror and know that, you know, if you know it's time to graduate, you know you've done dark things. I mean, it's like, I really feel for myself, it's like I'm so beyond whether am I dark? Oh, hell yeah, I'm dark. I mean, like, I'm now just at the space where I'm not just owning it mentally. I don't own the dark. I own, like, when I was in the woods today, I bawled my eyes out. And
oh, yeah?
And I was just bawling my eyes out in just the recognition of what every kingdom has ever, you know, sacrificed, you know, the elementals, the human, the birds, the insects, you know, like I just, I, t- I, I allowed myself to feel the pain, but the pain did not come from a victim consciousness. It came from, like, the consciousness, and what a library of experience we've accumulated on this journey of tremendous pain, but tremendous experiences, just diving into everything. I got to share this. Daniel Jacob shared this morning, and it was brilliant. And I knew it. I said I'm going to share this on the show tonight. And this is from the Reconnections, the beings that he channels. It says, "Look at that person who is sitting across from you. How does he appear? What is his mood? What does he seem to need right now? Once you decide to answer these questions, give whatever you think he needs to yourself. After all, you're all looking at your own reflection, are you not? The more strongly we feel an emotional reaction, a judgment, the more sure we can be that it is ourself that we see. The only way to change that reflection is to change ourself. Breaking the mirror or painting over it will not help. We are the world, my friends. We are the children. Do you want to feed the hungry children of the world? What have you done lately for that little cherub that lives inside of you?" The Reconnections.
That's good.
Yeah, it really struck me very poignantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so true, too, because the reflection that people reflect back to you is really what you're looking, you know, what is about yourself. You know, remember the shopping cart lady?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, see, as the divine feminine not only is relieved from her sacrifice, because I'll be honest with you, I have found that, okay, because one of the things I want to share is that I was telling Janine about this. On Oprah's, one of her master class shows, she went to go see John of God, and they played it last night, and they played the episode, and I was watching it, and I'll be honest with you guys, that guy gave me the heebie-jeebie creeps. You know, he John of God spoke about the entities making decisions. I was watching the people on the show that were. Oprah was interviewing, and to be quite honest, they were all looking for, you know, the pill, the spiritual awakening, quote unquote, to heal themselves. And it was like there wasn't a person in the space that took responsibility for the things they were feeling. It was really just, I saw spouses, you know, contributing to the spouse that was ill in that, yes, let's go find your miracle. They all kept talking about a miracle, but of course it was John of God that was going to give it to them. And I mean, all I saw was, you know, the reptilian agenda and negative entities. You know, here they are going to the casa, you know, going literally saying, "Yes, I want an entity." And I'm going, "Oh my God!" You know, like I literally had to keep flipping back and forth. I couldn't even watch the show straight, so to speak. I had to dilute it with some reality TV because when you know what they're doing, I mean, it was just, and I'll be honest with you, I mean, that is where their soul is. That their soul is in that journey that they want help in, and they don't believe they have it in them. And you know what? That is so okay. Because, see, I've been in Mother Nature, and it's okay. But that's not okay for me.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you, another thing that nature truly showed me, and Janine has shown me this as well in extraordinary ways, that this lifetime is not about trying to get rid of our pain. I mean, well, let me put it this way. We can get rid of our pain when we own it, when it comes back into us and then transcends into a wisdom that literally has experience attached to it. It's like the pain when it first comes in is the stuff we didn't really want to deal with at a conscious level. But the wisdom that is in pain is the compassion, is the integrity, is the patience. It's like that's the journey to getting the virtues that we speak of. And, you know, I know it sounds repetitive, but it's like there must be a cognitive shift. If you're doing the organic timeline, there's got to be a cognitive shift that says, I'm not trying to get rid of the pain. You know, it's like, I'll be honest with you, Janine has had, you know, a few weeks of stress about her finances. I've gone 3 years. In May, it will be 3 years that I have basically lived on less than $100 a week for 3 years. You know, it's like, now, would I have loved to have a job that I got, you know, 2 years ago? Hell yeah. No, but here's the thing, and this is something that I got when I was thinking about the money. Because I went through that three-year period, so what happened to me in that three-year period? Okay, one, I truly recognized the generosity of my father. Like, I have never recognized that before in my life. I mean, as a kid, you don't, I don't know that my father is being generous, you know, taking us on vacations. I'm a kid. But I'm 48 now, as a 45-year-old, I clearly knew that when he was paying my bills, that was generous, and he was doing it with no control. He was just literally taking care of his kids because he had the means to do so. Okay, I experienced two jobs not wanting to pay me for my time. I'm a nanny for 23 years. I'm telling you, I've done energy work, and I always used to have trouble getting paid for energy work. But I had a thing where I was like, I never have trouble getting paid as a nanny. Never. Well, I can't say that today. Today, I had two jobs. I worked a month for one girl that it became clear to me I wasn't going to get paid for that. She owed me like $1,000, and I let it go. I mean, when I let her go, and I let the money go, and it was the journey to realize that money is not going to dictate whether I'm in the vortex or whether I'm now. And I want to be clear. I absolutely felt and allowed myself to feel pissed off that woman did not pay me for my time. I was pissed, but I recognized very quickly, if I hold on to this, that it will literally create like a reality for me that more of that will come. Now, here's the ironic part. I ended up getting another job that it's not that they didn't pay me for my time. They hired me for a certain amount of hours and then they took my hours away. So I still didn't get paid. I didn't work and not get paid, but I didn't work and I didn't get paid. And that was another layer of the hold that money had on me, that I had to experience that because it is a part of me. This isn't about denying this. This is about going, holy shit. You know, like, I grew up in an upper middle class family. Here's the interesting thing. We've always had for ourselves, but my father has literally always lived very under his means. I mean, my father drove a Toyota Tercel all the years he worked at IBM. You know, it's like we've never had Mercedes or Acuras in my house. He's literally said to me, never live to impress the neighbors because it'll just cost you a lot of money.
He's like, that's a great line.
Yeah, he used to say, live for yourself. Do what's important for you to do, not what and growing up in like the East Coast Beverly Hills, these are really important things. But I resonated with them anyways because I've never been about pocketbooks and shoe bedazzles. I mean, you know, so but to stay on track, these experiences that I went through around the money. It is undeniable now that I found little Cormac and And I asked the universe, who called me here, the mother or the son? The son called me, and boy, little Cormac is an Irish little warrior. When I first thought about him, I got the vision of Mel Gibson in Braveheart. So I got a feisty little munchkin on my hands, and the mother's home, and she's definitely out of the box. She is not a typical Greenwich person, you know, no makeup, no nails being done. She's very, you know, down to earth. It's where I'm supposed to be. It's so organic because I went through what I had to go through in the 3 years. And the reason why I want to share this is because this is a template, my friends. This is for all of us. The stuff that we're going through that we're not getting, quote unquote, what we're, you know, we're meditating on and we're, you know, focusing on and we're doing the law of attraction. It's like, instead of working against it, whatever shows up, honor it. Honor it. Honor the darkness that shows up in your life. Because here's the one thing that is true for all of us. If it's at your front door, it's yours. That's why it's there. But that's not, there's no shame. I hold no shame or guilt around the situations that I'm dealing with. Absolutely zero. And I'll tell you, shame and guilt are, the only reason why shame and guilt are in your life is because you yourself are putting that frequency in there. Nobody can guilt you. And again, my mother was brilliant. She taught me that when I was very young. She goes, guilt only works if you let it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, certain things I've had in my consciousness that I didn't, quote unquote, necessarily have to work on. Trust I have to work on this lifetime. But understanding that guilt and shame are, you know, are traps, I've known that organically. I just know that. But listen, once your mind knows it, don't fall for the trap. In other words, what is guilt telling you? Guilt is you reliving something over and over as if you had a choice to do it any other way. When, again, what I want to share on this show, and I'm sharing all the time, the soul has certain experiences we must go through in order to balance, in order to be birthed out the other side. So if we have dark experiences showing up on our doorstep, that means they're ours to bring back home. They're ours to take in. They're ours to own.
Uh-huh.
And once you get that, well, why would you feel guilty about that? Listen, we came to the third dimension and the fourth dimension and the first and second dimension, even for that matter, to experience polarity, separation, you know, forgetfulness. What makes you think you would be omnipotent in an experience that promotes everything but? I mean, like, that's unrealistic. That's just completely unrealistic to think that you would behave, quote unquote, you know, perfectly from, you know, the etiquette, manners, you know, doing what's right. It's like, go deeper than that. That's such a matrix trap, because underneath that, I promise you, if you look at the things that show up in your life, you'll see that there's a wisdom. And I'm going to even step out of the box as far and say, I have enjoyed, you know, I was a coke addict for 12 years. I mean, and if you ask me, do I regret that? Hell no, I don't. I don't.
Because very similarly to the past 3 years, you really got to know who you were, and through a lot of those experiences, I mean, even when you talk to me, you know, there's something you came out of that with that, you
well,
know.
Well, strength.
Right, right.
I mean,
right.
Like, see, where do you guys think we're going to get that from? You can't call in the magenta light to get strength. We've already established if you're doing that, that's like you're going to light up on a fourth dimensional board. And you're going to get hitchhikers, and you're going to get reptilians going, oh, I'll give you strength, and it's going to be artificial, you know. So you're going to get a hard on, but it's really going to be an alien doing it for you. It's not organic, you know. It's not in your heart, and it's not presence. But true presence That's exactly right, Janine. True presence comes from the organic experience of the dark. But here's the thing. It's you can experience the dark organically even if it's within the matrix that all of it gets triggered.
Yeah.
See, that's
where it does get triggered.
Exactly, because I'm not triggered in the forest, but boy, put me in the middle of a Wilton High School. Holy shit, today I was like, the girls had to practice for some dance, and they were like, "Are you gonna watch?" And I'm like, "Oh, don't hate me." It's like, no, I don't do Wilton. I don't do the Wilton from a public point of view. And I'll tell you though, something has shifted in me as well as the planet because women were smiling at me today, and that does not normally happen. And I did make note of it. Like, wow, the feminine is getting softer.
Yeah. Well, remember even when you said, which I love the noticings about ourselves, when we see, you know, we see the shifts, which again brings me back to your destabilizing elements, because we're, you know, that's what we're doing. That I mean, we're made of those things, you know. So.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
I loved when you said to me the other day, yeah, I'm leaving work and now I'm going to the Y and I'm in the water, you know, and you said that just wouldn't have been me, like, you know, and I loved hearing that because, you know, and then there you are, you're more at ease and you're in the water at the Y and you're going from here. And I don't know, it just seemed like, wow, there's a really nice flow going on there, you know,
and
you recognized it in yourself.
Well, you know who inspired me, too, I highly recommend, if you guys haven't seen Temple Grandin's movie with Claire Danes, Jay, I don't know if you, I know you have Netflix, but you can only get it through the DVD. I don't know if you have that Netflix. It's an extraordinary movie because, I mean, she's got autism. And
now, what movie is this? What's
Temple Grandin.
I've never even heard of it.
Oh.
Wow.
I will find some, you know,
okay.
I'll find it on Amazon. You have to see this movie. But I think everybody, I mean, this woman is autistic. She's got a lot of things going against her. And she entered a climate of, she restructured slaughterhouses based on the wisdom of knowing what helped the cows relax, that she had an understanding. She goes, okay, listen, she wasn't fighting that these beings were going to die. And I resonated with that. We're all going to die. But what she was rallying for was that the moment before death, I'm going to cry.
Aww,
these beings were completely calm because she literally became the perception of the cow's perspective, and she was making changes, and it was so funny because every time she would find herself in a feeding pen, one of the first things they say, no women allowed. And I'm like, of course, the matrix doesn't allow women because women will make these changes. And
And
one of the things she kept pointing out in the whole movie, and it's a hard movie to watch, I'll be honest. I had to fast forward some of the slaughterhouse
I'm already feeling it.
Yeah, it was hard. Because cows are, I can't, those eyes, boy, how do you look into
beautiful.
The eyes of a cow and not feel tremendous compassion? But she had a metaphor for every time, like when she had to go to college, a door opened and she walked through it. And it became the thread throughout the whole movie of, if I keep opening doors and walking through it, I keep getting new realities. And that's what I was saying. I go to the YMCA because a door opened, you know, in the woods. Go to the YMCA, and it's like it's a public bathhouse in a town that, you know, 5 years, 10 years ago, I would have told you would judge me from head to toe because of, you know, between my name and who I am and how I look. And here I am at this house, you know, at this YMCA, and I am doing it. I'm having tremendous results. And like the woods yesterday gave me the Taekwondo. And I'm like, okay, let's, let's go explore Taekwondo. And, you know, I'm...
Wow, I didn't know that. That's
We didn't... Yeah, so, you know, I'm going to... That's my next door that I want to open because I like the idea of moving consciously, strengthening my core. It just... And the bottom line is, as soon as... When the wood said it, I went, oh, yeah, that... Okay. Oh, because I think I might do that instead of the personal trainer. Because it feels more...
Great.
Yeah, it felt more organic than the personal trainer because I don't really have the strength, per se, to just do the resistance of weights. I want breathing involved, and I want spirituality involved, and martial arts clearly has. Because if I can't handle Taekwondo, I'm going to do Tai Chi. But for now, I heard Taekwondo, so that is what I'm going to check out. So I mean, it's like... I love, life is just leading me, you know, I mean, that movie Temple Grandin just, and here's one of the funny things. One of the people at John of God was a mom that was there because her kid had Asperger's. And I was telling Janine, like, you know, Scott has Asperger's. Like, this mother really believed that she could go to John of God and heal her kid of something that is... Asperger's is not a disease. It is extraordinary perception and heightened sensitivity to a world that is really fucked up. I mean, like, that's the truth. They can see how whacked out it is, and they respond to it, as opposed to, you know, most of us who have acclimated to how whacked out it is, but we can handle it. You know, and it's like, that just struck me so, you know, because I was so inspired by Temple, and then here was the opposite, you know, on Oprah. Because I'll tell you, Oprah used to inspire me, and I'll be honest with you, she's a reptilian. I mean, I can totally see it in her, and I'm just not, you know, I'm just not impressed with Oprah. I haven't been for a while. You know, it is what it is. All right, I don't want to get into a dark side. Take over, Jaber.
No. I like your after saying that, like, it is what it is. I liked that. It was just that's a good way of saying it. It is what it is. You know?
Well, right. Right.
Yeah. Because, no. Yeah. So today when I went into the Goldie called me as I was leaving the house because I watched some of that Abraham Hicks because she posted it and I went, I believe that might be for me. and so I watched some of it. It was a 12 minute YouTube video. 3 minutes in, I'm going, okay, I got it. Vortex, go into the woods. Bye. You know, got the 12 minutes in 3 minutes. It's very funny because as I'm leaving the house, Goldie calls me. It's just funny timing. You know, it's great timing. And she talks to me on the way to the woods, and then I keep talking to her, and I'm now in the woods, and I'm walking in the woods, and I see these beautiful little bulb flowers that are coming up, like out of the dead leaves and the dried, you know, brown part of winter. And so there I am, snapping these photos, emailing them to her right from the woods. And it just felt to me, you know, this week with Thursday being the equinox and, spring comes every year. That's true. But there was something so beautiful and timely and sublime and subtle about just catching these photos of these little flowers, delicate flowers coming out.
Okay, let me interrupt, which, by the way, the two flowers that Janine are talking about are on the episode page, so you can see what she's referencing.
Yeah, the little white flowers are on the episode page, and the little, they look
yellow
like miniature
flowers.
Daffodils or something.
Yes.
Like little wild daffodils, which are, you know, so cool. Mm-hmm. And, and there I was. I was in the park, big open park. You know, you wouldn't know it's a park. Alan knows the park. It's Tatum Park. And, you know, it was cold, but the air quality was amazing. And the oxygen and, I just had to shift myself. I could feel that when I came to understanding the resistance that I was feeling against paperwork and worry and money and even, you know, helping my friend, standing by her with some legal statements that I made to help her. There was all this feeling going on, and I could feel that just being with it, you know, noticing the resistance, again, similar to noticing you have pain, and instead of running from it, you go with it and you look for what it's trying to tell you. And I saw that the resistance, I was like, nah, you know, George even stimulated that with the conversation that I listened to him having with us, that, you know, instead of staying with the resistance, why don't you work on the acceptance of it, because there's something there for you. Well, that's what I got out of it. And there really is something there for me, because I'm learning so much about being in these positions of, you know, creativity, resourcefulness, asking for help, you know, people showing up to help me, letting go, trusting more, stop worrying, you know, things show up when they need to, and that's just not a light statement. I mean, that really is from years of experience. I'm not just saying that, like, don't worry, things show up when you need them. I'm really,
right.
They really are. And so today, you know, you just feel this movement going on, and I, you know, I've been working on some creative projects, and they've been going really beautifully, and you know, they involve art and music and you know, dialogue and you know, that stuff makes me happy. But, you know, the paperwork that causes me the strange resistant anxiety, that was, you know, talk about the big teacher. That was it. It was like, okay, you know, I'm listening. You know, there it was. It was like the big teacher was showed up. They called
right
paperwork, you know, and
yeah.
And yeah, it makes me laugh now because it is funny. And then, you know, and do I? And you know, similar to Goldie, and this is what's so beautiful. I'm 58, you know, and I have come to, not that I always appreciated my mother, always.
Okay.
But I have come to totally appreciate my mother's strength and her generosity, and how much she's one of my greatest fans and greatest mm-hmm. supporters. And who I mean, you know, these are the kinds of things where you just go, hey, that's great. You know,
absolutely.
How fortunate. And
yep.
So, you know, yeah, so similar to Goldie, that's just another parallel that she and I have. And so it's just been an amazing 2 weeks of intensity, resistance, acceptance. The conversation with George was perfect timing, because I actually was in the thick of the intensity when we were talking. But, you know, I know how to hold space in that kind of tension and really get what I need to learn, because I was completely open and calm talking to George, and I was absorbing what he was saying. I really welcomed that. So yeah, this has been a great build up to the end of the sacrifice of the feminine.
Right on. The true awakening of, you know, because. It, like I said, it's so interesting, because how we perceive this time, if you perceive Earth as a victim, that is one journey. If you perceive Earth as one of the most magnificent displays of integrity, that will be a different journey. And, you know, I was thinking about this today, and I was talking to Janine about it. Okay, I'm going to share with you some really interesting, quote-unquote, lacking in my life that has remarkably and hands down chiseled my being into a more soulful being. Okay? Not having a child.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I can't tell you, listen, you would go, I used to say, you know, you don't need education for a child. You don't need money, in the sense of the actual act of creating a child has nothing to do with money. All these things I used to say, And I'll be honest with you, without getting into it totally, I have been pregnant before in my life, and I aborted it. And so that has a play in it. But I'll be honest with you, I was a drug addict, and I just wasn't, you know, there. All I knew was, okay, I can barely take care of myself from a health point of view. I'm not bringing a child in. But I used to always say, you know, people all around the world, the very poor, the very uneducated, they're all having children. Why when I, because it was so funny, I stopped getting pregnant once I stopped doing the drugs. And I have to explore that because I truly don't know if, and I've been pregnant several times. I don't know if that has to do with, you know, some kind of breeding thing with aliens. I really don't. But I can tell you there's a distinction. I have only been pregnant in my life when I was on cocaine. And when I was on cocaine, it was every single day, all the time. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, I wasn't a casual partier. I was deep into this world, and that is the only time I found myself pregnant. Now, that in and of itself is interesting, but what is more even interesting is that not having a child has molded me in very similar ways that Scott being autistic is the love of my life. Because both of these situations are exactly the opposite of what my personality wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I thought I wanted was, you know, lots of babies and a man that was, you know, going to come home and rub my back and, you know, we're going to eat dinner. And, you know, it was going to be a very touchy-feely situation. And, you know, we were going to live happily ever after like they wrote about it in all those Disney movies.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I have a man whom I love dearly who is nothing shy of the most independent, sovereign being I've ever met in my life. You know, it's like I do not get you don't get an inch from Scott, and yet you get universes. It is I am not fed the fantasy of what Prince Charming would look like, and yet being with Scott, nothing has softened me more than spending these last 5 years with Scott. And part of spending time with Scott was being apart from him, which tore me up like nobody's business. I can't even tell you the pain I went through when we first broke up and he took his ex-girlfriend back. It just floored me to my knees. I was down and out. I was so, so sad. It was truly, if you knew me, you would know that as a, you know, goal. I dropped out for a long time, a good 3-4 months, which for me, I mean, I just dropped out because I just couldn't get rid of the pit in my stomach. Okay, here's another thing that just incredibly molded me. My mother's death, again, took me out. When my mother died, it didn't even compare to being on drugs. And I didn't think I could get any darker than 12 years of constant cocaine. Oh, nope, never say things like that. The fear and the dark night of my soul that my mother, who was ultimately, she stood in front of me and took on the world, so I didn't get it full head on, which at the time I appreciated, but when she left, I went, oh my. Like, there's nothing between me and the world. And here's the irony, of course. That which didn't kill me made me stronger. I really learned so much more about who I am because she died. I am learning so much about who I am because Scott doesn't give me everything I want. I am learning so much about who I am because I don't have my own children. You know, and I share these things because if you're going on the organic path, you're going to find things you're not going to get. You're just not going to get them. But that doesn't mean you're being punished. You did something wrong or you're doing something bad. You know, we're birthing into, you know, let's just for a moment take it in. I'll tell you where I'm going. And if you're on the organic path, it's where you're going too. But this is where we're going. We're going to a space where, you know, there's no technology. There's no plastic. There's no consumption of any kind. There's not a sun in the sky because everybody's got a light within their own beings. I mean, we are talking such a paradigm shift from where we are now. Doesn't it make sense that the last lifetime before you were going to get to a space like that, a lot of things could happen that might be completely unpredictable and could show up, you know, from where you were as being horrible, but where you're going would make total sense that that's how you would go out. Because for me, it just makes, let's put it this way. Here, I'll give you the analogy. Who would have thought Mother Earth is the strongest being in the solar system? Think about it. How many people think how weak she is?
Mm-hmm. I never thought that.
Well, no, because you've always been connected to her.
I always adored her.
Yeah, well, and I've never gotten that she's a victim. I can feel pain, but I never feel victim from her. She doesn't wallow in it. She reminds me of the, like, my cat. My cat will have pains, like have a bladder infection, and it's like, it's a son of a bitch. She never whines. I mean, she's so stoic, but not, but organically, she just doesn't complain that her body is aching. She just accepts it for what, you know, and I got that, like the trees. You know, one of the things the trees showed me is they never move. So it's like anything that's coming their way, they can't even get out of the way. You know, it's like, because I'm such a runner, you know, I part of my flipping of beliefs is learning to sit in the hot kitchen. You know, when it got hot, I was so used to running and turning it off that, you know, when it was time to do soul work, you know, Janine, you showed me that. You know, it's like, don't run, sit in it and let it cook you. Because that's the alchemy, that cooking, that heat, that hot, that sheer movement and friction. And
stay with it.
Stay with it because it changes you. I remember I told you I did that with little Sahana. And, you know, even a little five-year-old goes, wow, something happened because I just allowed her to have a fit and didn't give her way. And it worked out as an energy. And, you know, I share all this because I'm not trying to be, you know, Debbie Downer here.
You're not Debbie Downer at all.
Okay, because I want to show you how these incredibly significant desires and wants in my life, by not getting them, what it has shown me is the truth, which is the pain is a mandate of our soul. It really is. The soul knows what you need to get to that experience in the fifth dimension, and it's really just a choice of whether you allow it to come back in or not. Do you hear that?
No.
Oh, I heard a little beepy sound, but it's cool.
No, I didn't hear that.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, I'm glad I'm not a Debbie Downer, because, you know, that's, I mean, I'm...
No. I was just thinking that, well, the personality, what we think we want, you know, in many ways, you know, it could even be... not a way to avoid knowing ourselves, but in many ways, what ends up happening is when you don't get what you think you want, you are in the position of either, you know, spending your whole life, you know, having a temper tantrum and being in regret and feeling like a victim, or, you know, similar to the very, very small example of the paperwork, or really seeing, you know, what is that for me? And then, you know, the understatement of the century is that you get to know yourself, but it isn't easy. And, you know, we go through a lot of discomfort, and, you know, but it's never wasted, because you do ultimately get to these places where, you know, it is the wisdom of us, or the, you know, I was saying, when you said the word pain before, I was like, if you go in through that pain, you're literally coming home to yourself, you know, and I mean, that, I just find in therapy lately, too, that, you know, with doing therapy with people that, unfortunately, the percentage is very low, I have found recently, where people that really are wanting to do that, you know, where they really are going, wow, yeah, okay, I'm coming back for more, I get it. It's kind of like, oh, I didn't expect that, and then you don't hear from them again, you know,
exactly.
And it's like, oh, come on.
it's just
stuff.
Getting good. I mean, that's the truth. It's just getting, you know, and I really do get it. It's been conditioned that the pain is, you know, it shows us our mistakes. It shows us our, you know, pain is weakness leaving. Oh, actually, that one more. Pain is weakness leaving the body. Now, that has some, there's some merit to that statement. Pain is weakness leaving the, you know, but it's not from a generic, you know, it's, because again, the key cognitive piece here is the pain is self. It is us.
That's right.
It's organic. You couldn't.
That's why I say you get closer to home as you do that, you know, because that is you, you know, and you can all, I mean, and so that's, you know, I mean, it's just such an ongoing process, but it is the organic process.
Absolutely.
And you know, the cool thing is you don't have to leave in order to do this work. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, you can be here right now, doing the work, and it's not about leaving. It's about, you know, doing it.
Ground yourself
into
the body. Yeah.
Being grounded and responsible.
Yeah.
You know, and, so.
Well, and you really do find that after these periods of, you know, again, you know, remember when George said this isn't about instant gratification. I mean, there are some things, it took me a long time to truly accept that I'm not going to have a child. I've kind of went back and forth, but I'm telling you, at this point, I'm okay with it simply because I'm not going to birth a child. I am the child that which is being birthed.
Right.
And that wisdom is not a hope, and it is not faith. I know I'm birthing it with the Milky Way galaxy into the fifth dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And I might have my names wrong. It might not be the fifth, you know, whatever. But you know what I'm saying? This is not something. No one has to tell me that. And here's the kicker. And no one can take it away from me either. It is mine, because that is what the wisdom that came on the tail end of all that pain. Because the pain is going, finally, I'm home. You know, I've been knocking on the door going, let me in, because I can't leave this dimension until my pain comes back home to me. Think about it, that's organic, itself. I can't leave pieces of myself scattered all over the place. If I'm going to incend and birth myself, I need all parts of me. I that's the way it works, you know, and it's like, it just makes so much sense, but it's not going to make sense from a mental point of view, ultimately. Pain will never make sense from a mental point of view. It'll make sense from a sensation, the body and the heart, and most definitely the soul.
Yeah.
Knows the truth, and you just got to get some, you know, for lack of a better word, some practice at sitting in it to see how good you feel when you have those mini breakthroughs that are, you know, and they're major breakthroughs, actually. But what?
Speaking of that,
what?
That reminds me of your dream you had about us in the Long Island Sound.
Okay. Share the dream. You share it. Or off air. One of us.
No, you share it because it was your dream, but you also, and then I'll tell why it popped into my head.
Okay, I'll just share it quick.
Because of what you were just saying.
Okay, because I don't want you to lose that. Okay, because last night I had a dream when I woke up this morning that me and Janine were in the Long Island Sound, which is basically an inlet off of the, I don't know, Pacific, Atlantic Ocean. I don't know what the hell side we're on. But it's an inlet. It's like a bay almost. And it was very, very murky. And we were deep sea diving looking for treasure. And she would go down and I would stay up and catch my breath, even though we had the breathing apparatus, but that's the way it was in the dream. And then she would come up and I would go down. And the last time I went down, I had felt something like a box. And I came up and I went, I felt something. There's something down there. And she was like, oh, maybe it's a treasure. And then I woke up.
No, it's a great dream. You know, I said that Carl Jung would love that dream. I love that dream. And when Goldie was telling me the dream this morning, she used the word murky like three times about the water. And, you know, just I wrote a book and it took me 5 years, and it's about a river goddess. And, you know, the timing of my incredible love affair with nature and Mother Earth and the deep feminine nature, you know, this is really a tribute to her. And so in the book, which I've been working on lately, the song from page 131, which is a tribute to the river goddess or the deep feminine and the water element. And so there's a line in there where it says, tonight, tonight, feel her gentle touch. Tonight, tonight, we need her so much. Awaken by her side from your murky sleep to the comfort of her watery keep. This river is like life, it never ends, but on her heartbeat the river depends. And I just thought, wow, you know, and I always feel like Goldie and I are crossover, we have like crossover consciousness and you know, thoughts and feelings, because a lot of times, you know, it things just parallel. And so
exactly.
I thought, there it is, you know, and let me just read the beginning of this, because this is so appropriate about the dark and the value of all of it. Is it starts, and it's a song that I've been working on, and we've put music to it, and it's on YouTube now, and it's really beautiful. But it starts, it says, oh, the river runs through all kinds of places, through the broken hearts, past the lonely, sad faces. Man, the river, she is made of tears, of joy and pain, carried in the silver clouds, filled with soothing rain. Listen to her roll round rocks and trees. Listen to her voice, sweeter than the breeze. Tonight, tonight, feel her gentle touch. Tonight, tonight, we need her so much. Awaken by her side from your murky sleep to the comfort of her watery keep. This river is like life, it never ends, but on her heartbeat, the river depends. And to me, that is truly Mother Earth and you know, the beautiful river. But it just, and that's an encouragement poem. That's like, come on, you know, it's through the sad faces, the lonely faces, the pain, the joy, it's made of tears, and, you know, and that's life to me. And that's
life here anyways, which is where
we're
at.
Yeah, that's life here. And I felt like Golden Talk's dream to me really tapped into that part of, you know, what I feel is happening, and the value of paying attention to, you know, their deep underground feelings. They're in deep in the water. They're undefinable to, like, you know, your average language. It's kind of how
right.
I see the
right.
best stuff that I see is the stuff of imagery and, you know, just that language that nature has that, you know, you feel privileged when you get it. You're like, you know, and it's just something that communicates to me. So I loved your dream. And
Right.
I just feel like the treasure's here, you know.
Well, and I think, again, it's a template. This is not just me and Janine.
The book is a template. My poem
exactly.
The song is a template. It's an encouragement to
well, see, and
know,
that's the interesting thing, right? Like, because this is an insight I'm getting. You know, I've always gone through. I'll tell you straight up, I'm selfish. Hell yeah, I'm selfish. Everything I do is about me. Everything. But now here's
Wait, could I just enjoy that moment for a second? That was so great. That was so great.
Well, I'm not afraid to admit it. I do everything selfish.
No, but it's so wonderful. I just needed a moment.
I love you. Thank you. But listen, here's the interesting thing. When you go deep enough into yourself, I've actually hit a place that is template.
Yeah, you have.
Because I can see that I can do Q&A with George now, and people don't, you know, get their panties in a crinkle about it because I'm asking things I want to know, but the things I want to know are template things as opposed to the first time, you know, the first couple of interviews. I you know, hey, if you guys listen to them, I did ask George questions about what I wanted to know because I'm selfish. I want to know. And you know what? I do a radio show. I can find out.
That's very good. It's just so good. I just so love it so much.
I love you, babe. You are the greatest partner I could ever ask for. You really are. Well, but now there's another cognitive flip, right? We were told don't be self-centered. It's bad to be self-centered. Hello, look at the words. Self-centered is exactly what I want to be.
Right.
I mean, it's in the words.
True to yourself, because when you're true to yourself, you are, you know, you are a gift.
You're soul based.
Yeah.
Because it's such a personal journey. You've got to be focused on yourself. The deception is trying to heal the world. That's the deception on some level, meaning focusing on, you know, why did he say this, do that? What can I do to make him feel better? How can, you know, the whole people pleaser dynamic.
The accommodator.
The accommodator. These are all, we have been told by religions and spiritual groups, you know, service to others. And I'm telling you, there's truth in that, but it is a tweak because service to others second, service to self first.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when Angela Zarian in 1991, I heard her say, and I was in the thick of some marriage problems, but scared that even wasn't even willing to, you know, enter the idea that it could end.
Okay.
So, which is, of course, you know, going back to your story of what you think you want, what you picture your life to be, and versus what will be happening, and really the chiseled figure that comes out of that, like the sculpture, you know. So, you know, I heard Angela Zarian, very, very wise person, in 1991 say, journey first, relationship second. And I really hated that. I was like, I hate, because all it did was resonate as true, and I didn't want it to, but it did. And it was absolutely unbeknownst to me, you know, it's that like somewhere deep down inside, because it struck me so deeply where all the emotion was and the feeling and the pain, that really was going to be true for me. And it took another, you know, like 10 years, well, no, 7 years, but it was exactly what was going to happen. And it was, you know, it was what really needed to happen for me to happen. So,
well, exactly.
So, you know, I get it. And, you know, we might go kicking and screaming maybe, but, you know, we go. And
almost seems like if it's your lifetime to go,
you go. Right.
Because I promise you, whoever I'm talking to, you already have. Your shit's already at your front door. You know, it's not about you have to go outside and look for these things. This is just about understanding that the society and the matrix tells us you know, we're doing it wrong because shit's at our front door. And I'm telling you, absolutely not. This is the lifetime. Yet you've got to deal with what's at the front door. If indeed the journey is to birth yourself outside of this, you know, we got to get through that void. We're going to need momentum. And the momentum we're getting is from our pain. That is the momentum builder. It's what's making us strong.
Yeah, and her statement brought it all up, and there it was. And it was
right
like,
on.
You know, it
right
was
on.
Right there, and I knew it, and my body reacted. And, you know, it was the big tip-off.
Well, right, it was the sign up ahead, you know. You know, like, what's that crossing that you got to go to in Ireland?
It's O'Connor Pass.
O'Connor
yeah,
Pass, you know, it's
I
like,
had to
you
drive
know,
over O'Connor Pass.
Boulders may be coming down, so you know you gotta beware.
Exactly. I'm glad you took me to Ireland on this trip because I really like the minute you mentioned that I
yep.
could feel it's like oh yeah O'Connor Pass Ireland how great you know
yeah.
there's something that happens to me over there.
Well, who knows? Maybe you died one lifetime in that passing.
Maybe.
Right? And now you got to have the courage to do it, you know. And see, and, you know, that's another thing that's so interesting that, you know, George talks about that, you know, they're going to basically, they're going to use the way to get the child away from the mother willingly is to tell people the mother is dying.
Yeah.
So, you know, and because the first thing that hit me when he said that was, oh, that's why the propaganda around having everybody afraid of death, you know,
right.
because, you know, it's so many cultures outside of Aborigines, you know, we're all afraid to die. And again, that's just one of those things I've had my whole life where I've died, quote unquote, in dreams, you know, been shot, you know, full blank, point blank in the head. And of course I don't die. And that's what it, well, there it is, because none of us die. So, I mean, me, I've always been like, you know, I'm not going to, not always. Let me say, post-drugs, I've always wanted to die, but I would never take my own life. It's like, you know, if I get hit by a truck, so be it. You know, my preference was, of course, to die quickly, let it happen, you know, something that just takes me out of my body just like that. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is because, see, it's important not to, like, you know, you hear people praying that people, in order for a healing to be successful, this is John of God stuff again, in order for a healing to be successful, the person has to live and has to live healthy.
Right.
You know, where that's not our truth. Our truth is we have to find peace in what we're experiencing. We have to find balance. We have to, you know, have compassion towards yourself that, you know, this is mine. And God knows I was, or goodness knows, when I came in, because the metaphor I keep seeing is when we came in as creators, we were putting up parking lots all over paradise. You know that song, they built a parking lot on paradise?
Yeah.
That's the visual and the song. And so now, you know, all the beings that, you know, we stepped on and tarred on and, you know, kind of came in and said, this is our territory. Well, from an energetic point of view, how they felt, we are going through that life review now. Because, so we are actually going through what people do when they die alive. That's what the pain is, exactly that, actually. And by doing it while we're alive, on some level, it's prepping us to, so that this lifetime we are actually not going to, quote unquote, die and do the basic die and then get funneled back into the fourth dimension, you know, and come back in here and do it again because we got karma, which, again, you know what karma basically is? I mean, besides being, you know, cause and effect, karma from a manipulated and corrupted point of view is guilt and shame, thinking you got to come back and make it all right until it's zero, as opposed to holding up your hands going, guess what? It's zero right now. I have no guilt or shame about murdering, killing, raping, starving, strangling, stealing, lying, cheating, you know, pick a term and apply to self. It's one size fits all, because I have no guilt about everything I've done. It's like I truly have an understanding cellularly. It's why I came here. Why would I feel guilty about playing the game by the rule? You know, you don't find football players apologizing to each other for breaking their femurs and their noses. They're like, yeah, good game. It's like, you know, we came into a rough dimension, so to speak. So we played rough.
Yeah.
You know.
No, that's so true. Did you come up with that just yourself recently? It's very interesting about going through it right here now rather than having to pass over. I think that's a really.
Now, I came up with that as we spoke a second ago.
Yes. Like a second ago. That's so great.
Just kind of came out.
It's a good understanding, you know, because you can actually sense that is what is happening. That
well,
we're experiencing
that's why
things.
It feels like the death, right? Because
right.
It's what we would normally go through in death. And what we would normally go through, I would imagine, when we do it in death, I guess we're somewhat detached from it, because if in death you're out of body, right? I mean, even though your mind still is attached to the body, but physically you're out of body, so you really don't, you feel the life of you, but differently. You don't feel it physically. Where, of course,
by the way, you know, I would say that this experience then is more effective because you're literally doing it, quote, consciously.
Right.
Yeah,
and
so
physically.
Very effective.
It is so effective. It's kind of why, you know, when you're doing it, you don't, as much as I've resisted this for so long, at this point it's like, it really is. Lift the floodgates. Bring on what's mine. I'm no longer running from bad relationships in the sense of I'm sticking it out with Scott. I'm sitting on the floor with little Cormac for 8 hours a day. You know, I'm like, things that are challenging to me that I know to be mine, if I don't go through it, then I might die and have to recycle back in. And I'm telling you,
right.
I'm so committed that, and again, I believe at this point the soul is coming through me going, okay, you know, go left, you know, pick up a piece of you there, keep walking, go right, pick up another piece of you there. I can feel momentum.
Yeah.
And again, and what's sprinkled through all of this is the soul knowing that this is the last lifetime I have to do this. You know, but it's a, you know, it's a strange thing because I'm not running. You can't run away from integrating pain because you're not integrating it if you're running away. So, and it's one of those, you can't fake out the universe. It's all got to be authentic or it doesn't happen. So you have to genuinely, and it doesn't matter if anybody else believes you. You don't have to convince anybody else.
No, right.
It's a very personal experience. And when you're doing it, and life is falling apart and you're losing your mind and you stink of high holy shit because you're in your own pain and you can't even get out of your own way, you know you're doing it. You know, just know. No.
And it's funny because you basically what ends up, what, you know, the person who knows you, you can watch, or I can watch, how you're handling things just so differently. And it's so, you know, it's great. It's so great.
Well,
like,
Janine, wow, you. Well, and I'll tell you, my friends, you'll find that the people, I started thinking about this today. I don't really have people I talk to on the phone anymore who are matrix dwellers. The people I talk to on the phone now, we're in the matrix, but we're clearly doing soul work in the matrix. And it just organically that you know, it just shifted and sifted out of, you know, because I truly, you know, when I'm not talking on the phone through an addiction, I mean, I can't tell you how much awareness comes in. I the time that I have is essentially focused on the things that I'm resistant to. And so by not making these phone calls, I'm really quite aware that I'm sitting in these uncomfortable spaces doing the work I need to do, the integration.
There it is, right? That's
there it.
It
is. Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's like, you know, and once again, you know, it's like Angela Sarian, she, same person who said journey first, relationship second, and I was like, ah, you know, and then she said something about, and this is long ago before, you know, I was really like getting it, but obviously I was very ripe because she said something about holding the space in creative tension. And I was like, what? I was like, what's that? And I was like, creative tension. Ooh, you know, and it's like, basically that's like not running away from the conflict because nothing ever breaks through, transforms, gets resolved, alchemizes when you run away from conflict. It's like go right into it. And that completely intrigued me. And what, you know, sometimes like classic story would be like, if someone said, okay, what's your biggest fear or what's your weakness? And then you'd hold your hand up. And so then for me, what I realized, I had an innate talent for handling conflict and going into finding what's transforming in there and finding all the pieces to integrate. That was something, but I had never really approached it. But when I heard it, I completely like was like a magnet to it. And what really I had been afraid of was really where I belonged. And so that completely attracted me. And that's where I find I'm good in that space. Like, it's like, no, this is where you got to go. Don't, you know, and I enjoy it, which is amazing. You know, I think that's amazing for someone who, you know, who wasn't that all her, you know, all her first 18 years, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
So, you know, yeah. So this is the turning point even, and you just confirmed it. When you can sit in the creative tension, it's where the paradigm shift is, and it's where the paradox meets, and then you're right there smack in the neutral zone. But you can't get there without sitting in it and,
exactly.
You know, and turning on the light and going, okay, and what's in that corner? And okay, what's behind there? And okay, let me look back there. And, you know, the classic, you know, turn the light on in the cellar and go down and look, you know, I mean,
yeah.
And
yeah.
Coming from it. Yeah. So
yeah.
I just.
Right on, babe. Right.
Good
on.
Story, Goldie.
Yeah. Good share on your end too. I mean, you just get me, babe. It's just so nice. You know, my whole life, I can remember saying, because I was thinking about that going, you know, my whole life, I've truly felt misunderstood. I was a very sensitive kid, and I didn't even understand, you know, my existence, and, you know, and I, you know, right into puberty, pretty much right out of the gate, you know, I'm basically doing drugs until I'm 30, you know, it's like, wow, you know, again, just so much, what the, you know, I can remember the very first line I ever said to my first therapist at 30 was, why am I such a smart woman making stupid choices? I mean, I didn't understand all of it. And it's so funny because I have gone upside down, back to right side up, back to upside down, back to right side up, because the journey in every layer helps me to see another piece of not just, like I said, the truth about myself. I'm doing humanity's journey. This is the journey I believe all of us will do or are doing in order to get ourselves birthed into the next space. I mean, that's just because from an organic point of view, things do work based on a template. You know, at babies form from, sperm to egg, 2 cells, 4 cells, 8 cells. You know, this is, life is a template. You know,
yeah.
it's just a matter of getting, you know, we got to get science caught up. You know, we got to get the religions untangled. But the truth is, we do have whistleblowers, and we have people like George who had conscious experiences leaving, you know, this universe. And, you know, and you start putting all the pieces together, and just, you know, I mean, my little wobbler thing, you know, what do they call those little things that the fishermen use that holds the thing on the water?
Oh, the bobber.
Bobber. My yeah. bobber. That's so funny. I don't know why. My bobber finally feels like, okay, I can go up and down in the water, hence the deep sea diving, but
yeah.
I'm really not turning over so much anymore because, you know, I'm my light is becoming laser. You know, it's just like it's all being funneled through the things I'm sharing with you because there's a sense, and I believe all of us feel this, there is a sense that time is running out from one paradigm, and, you know, that turning point will be another paradigm. And, you know, I don't quote-unquote have proof of this, and yet if you look around, you know, everything shifting and changing is the proof of it. You know, it depends on, you know, like when you were saying you're popping into a visual where you can see the galaxy in your mind's
oh,
eye.
Oh, right.
That's you literally going from Janine the human inside you, inside Earth, inside the sun, out into the galaxy. I mean, that is the organic, that's how the energy came in. So for you to see yourself, that's how you're going back out. And so it almost feels like, you know, you're opening it up. It's not. It's flowing. It's moving. Because for you to be able to shift consciousness, and remember, George said it, we're already in the fifth dimension. It's you know, we're just kind of gathering the pieces. And then as we gather the pieces, it will, you know, it will propel us. I mean, that's just what I keep getting. I keep getting the more I integrate, the more momentum I have. And here's the true irony. So the more I play in the dark, the more it propels me, if you had to use a direction, up into the light. You know,
right.
It's like that's that paradox that you were just sharing. And the neutrality is that the matrix doesn't hook you when you're doing the integration work. If you can't feel neutral about your nemesis and about your enemies, then it's ultimately that hook is going to mean, oh, that's another cycle in the matrix, you know, because that's what the getting
what the
angry
hook, what you call the hook, it's like a trigger or no
the hook is when after you do the integration, well, I should say it prohibits you from doing the integration, because what happens is you get the awareness of what's going on. But instead of integrating it, you get pissed off at it, and you stay pissed off at it. And then you want to fight it, and then you want to, show it. You know, you seek revenge, and it's very masculine. It's aggressive, and it's like, nope, you got to stand there and be humble and have humility and say, you know, you take the pain in. But see, that's also another way to end the karma. You take it in, but you don't retaliate.
Yeah.
You just take it in, because karma over.
That's right.
I'm not doing anything with it. You know, well, I shouldn't say I'm not doing anything with it. I'm not doing anything with it in the matrix. What I'm doing is taking it in and propelling it into another paradigm altogether, which is, again, you know, so wild that, you know, I always wonder, what would my life be like if I was told all these truths as a child? You know, how many things, you know, how many corners I probably wouldn't have gone down, but so be it. This is the last lifetime. You know, see, okay, you can tell I just dropped into my ego when I said that because, you know, it's like, no, you know, I don't have any regrets. I really don't, because I'm here now. I'm here now, and I'm really confident that what I've always wanted for myself, that happy space that I have in my daydreams, exists, and I'm working to living there permanently, and not in my dream state and not in my outer body state from a astral projection. I'll be living there as the standard of frequency that I don't even know if they sleep there, but I will go to sleep and wake up every day, and I will be in that glorious space where the light is in me and the light is in you and the light is in the tree and in the birds and the chipmunks and all of it. There's no sun. You know, it's all in us.
Yeah. No, and I think that it's so interesting because I think back now for like the last, the 2 weeks where I felt really intense and, you know, something was going on and I was moving through it and learning, and how that image spontaneously would come up for me day or night, you know, and of the Milky Way galaxy hurling through, and so there was movement in this image, you know,
right on.
Hurling through space, and that spontaneously would come up for me, and it would comfort me. And what's interesting, because you mentioned it, and so all of a sudden I realized it's not coming up for me anymore. And so whatever was going on for me, you know, and that's the amazing part about the being the what's the shape that Nassim talks about.
Toroid.
That
toroid.
Yes. So we're our own toroid. That like I have these, you know, this image that would came up for me is almost within my own. It's in my own system of me that. Whatever that was for me, it was giving me a message, something. That was a communication from myself to myself while I was in this intense state, and then there that this image was. And what was very comforting about it on a multi-level was that we were moving, that this universe that we're in is not stagnant. And people would assume that it is, because do we feel like we're moving? No, but we're hurling through space. And that comforted me. And, you know, I can't explain it. It's just spontaneously was coming up. And then you mention it, and I go, oh, isn't that interesting? That hasn't come up for me now for, say, you know, 5 days, 6 days. But it's because whatever I was in, I'm moving out of. And that image just isn't needed or something. You know, I can't explain it, but it's a noticing of mine. So I'm very receptive to what myself gives myself as like feedback or language or communication, or here you go, Janine. You know, that's something I'm very receptive to, knowing that this is like a, it's like a self language, and it's lots of it is in images, and it's a speaking to oneself. And you know,
let me ask you a question. A question. Okay, it's a template, right? Let's say your awareness that you're hurling through space and that nothing's stagnant, that everything's moving. Now,
see the Milky Way. You know,
okay, so you can see the bigger picture.
I could see the bigger picture.
So now, doesn't that apply to you having less tension around paperwork tonight? Like,
yeah,
right?
It does. Yeah.
So
less tension in general as well, like tension about helping my friend legally, you know, which was uncomfortable, but I did it anyway.
Right.
That caused me tension. You know, the paperwork caused me tension. Just, you know, money issues, you know, wanting to be easier was causing me tension just in sort of a, like, pinnacle moment. You know, it was like, hey, nothing's really different. Why now? Why are you feeling weird?
Right.
You know, what's all
right.
this about? You know, but it just seemed heightened to me. And you could tell. But yet, you know, I could hold the space in it.
You also got heightened wisdom, even in just, you know, trickles or, you know, because it seems like when we get space from our soul.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like, we know we're going there, but even if you just get a nanosecond of this awareness, it just changes everything profoundly, because that's what the truth can do to an artificial experience. It trumps it. You know,
one second
of truth can change 12 years of artificial lies.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that glimpse of the literally seeing the Milky Way galaxy and then knowing that it's moving through, you know, so like it's kind of like a multi-knowing kind of image.
Well, and it relaxed you, which is another.
And it
key.
Relaxed me. Yes,
yeah.
It was like, oh, okay, yeah. And it's just so interesting because I'm able to dialogue with you, and I'm able to dialogue with whoever's listening, and I'm knowing that there's something beneficial not only for me, but then whatever the delivery of this is to others, you know, it's just kind of, that's very cool to me that, you know, I get to share it with you. It's a noticing. We tell George about it.
Right.
He felt it.
Absolutely.
When I was telling him, he was like, oh, I could feel that. You know, I felt like he could feel the being able to see the bigger picture and
exactly. He saw
and how
what
relaxing
you saw.
It was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know, just kind of noticing.
Wait a minute.
Now,
no, you do what? Know. You do know.
No. Well, okay, I do know, but
you do.
What I find interesting is that whatever that was, the image hasn't come up lately, and it's not like I don't mind that. It's just
what I needed at the time. But it has shown up in your actions. I mean, that's what's – see, it's one thing to be in your mind's eye, but –
No, good point.
And that's why I'm bringing up the paperwork, because you did do the paperwork today in a different space. So now it's
I did.
Enter now so that it's in, you know, you're not witnessing yourself hurling through space. You are hurling through space. I mean, as a relaxed state of being.
Right.
And then something mundane like paperwork is not tilting you when you're more limited if you felt more just a person in a body.
Yes, get it. No, true. Very true.
Right on.
Very, very true. And, you know, you'll notice even things like the wind was up and I noticed the garbage can was close to the street and I have to walk down a driveway to go get it. And there was something like... things felt easier to me today. Like, I was like, oh,
there
go get
is.
The garbage can. You know, and there, yeah. So,
yeah.
You're right. Now, that comfort that I got from that image is now in me. It is me.
It's been integrated.
I'm living it now. Right.
Exactly.
Right,
from
right.
That
I get it.
And that sounds, you know, it sounds like, oh, but that's just a little thing. And it's like, oh, my God, that is everything. In the point of, we're in the transitional period. You know, it's like, because Rich was saying it, you know, in the thing, we've got to make the journey from, I know people say from the head to the heart, but expand it even into more than that. Your cells have to know, each individual cell has to know what you know when you see it. And from my experience, first it comes into our mind. That is the first step, but you can't stop there. It's not completely integrated until the behavior is now literally expressing that wisdom, which means it's in the cells. The cells will express that wisdom by, for me, it's not doing the addiction of making phone calls.
Right, exactly.
So that's how I know my cells are. Now, and what's so funny is, so my cells are getting it, but there's still the voice in my head that'll say, don't you want to call this person? You know, I'll be in the woods, and it's like, yeah, shut the fuck up, man. You know, it's like, cause, you know, it's a beautiful mind kind of thing. Remember the movie A Beautiful
Yes.
Mind? It
Yes.
takes a long time before, you know, you got to ignore them, and I am ignoring them, but I'm being honest. That voice still comes up and goes, make the phone call. Make the phone call. And I'm like, you know, I'm in the woods. I'll focus on something else. Or today, it was really funny because I looked at my phone. I had no bars. I couldn't make a phone call, even if I wanted to.
How perfect is that?
I know. And I looked and I go, see, in the beginning, it's like your soul will support you. Because I'm not going to make the phone call, but I can feel it. I had the same situation when I first quit smoking cigarettes. in anything, you know. But again, the divine feminine is awakening, and that it really is a support system that should not be underestimated, because now the planet will show you what you've been showing her. It will be receptive.
Right.
The strength.
Right.
You know, she's gonna get momentum, and the momentum won't be about kicking the Matrix's ass. It'll simply be about the journey of birthing us into the next level. That is, she's now free to birth us. And, you know, that's why I don't think this is going to take 10 years, not by any stretch. Again, I don't know what the, you know, gestation period is and the template is for the birthing of a species as opposed to an individual. But, you know, clearly the end of the cycle and her regaining her ability to express herself is something absolutely to be celebrated, embodied, and expressed ourselves.
That's it, which is us, too.
Exactly.
So that's
exactly.
Really, really great. And
yeah.
The sun
consciousness,
umbilical cord.
No, well, right. I mean, because, you know, hey, the solar, I don't know. I mean, we've been getting a lot of CMEs, so.
I know.
That it could be that, you know, that first spurt of, okay. I mean, you know, it could, I what am I hoping? I'm hoping, you know, the quarantine is lifted and Mother Nature don't take, she don't waste no time. We are beginning to birth, you know, and like by 2014, we'll all be partying in the fifth dimension. I mean, that would be fantastic if you ask me.
Could be happening right now as we speak.
Well, and of course, on some level, it is. You know, we're in the womb and we're kicking. We're kicking her. Go, come on, Mom! If you want to get rid of us, give birth to us. All right, we're just about to go off the air. Just so you guys know, I love you guys. We're still going to take a few minutes, but it's going to get cut off if you're not on the phone. So.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
But that's okay. I mean, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, just
okay.
Turn 10.
Yeah, all right. So I love you, babe.
Thank you so much. Good show.
It's a great show. Thank you. And I apologize to everybody. And Janine, I cut you off a few times. I'm sorry.
I remember that.
You're so good to me, baby. I do love you. I just love you. Please share with everybody. See, you guys, call Janine. She's a great person to go through this birthing process with. I truly, truly mean that. So, and give all your information and the business
number. That is funny
because
I was a labor and delivery nurse.
That's not funny.
For
7 years. There it is. Wow. If you want to hang out and learn how to birth yourself, Janine is the person to call. And I want you to give phone numbers. So
yeah.
Give that
okay.
Phone number.
Okay. Phone number would be 732-872-8002. And a website would be jlkimmel.com, and you can just hit contact and email me. That's another way. And pretty soon, the yawningrabbitriverchronicle.com will be up. So
yay!
I'll announce it.
Sean will be. Yeah. Well, why don't we announce it with a show?
Yeah. Okay. When it's
that's
official,
what we should do.
We will do
okay.
That.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
thank
very
you,
soon.
Everyone.
Yeah, thank you, Janine.
Thanks,
thank you, everybody. All right, let's wait. Let's thank you, Susan. I haven't heard from you. I hope you're all right. I sent you an email, and I hope all is well. And would be great to hear from you, Art, and JP, and Rich, and Gemini, and Trisha, and who else, babe?
Alan.
Thank you, Alan, and. Everybody that supports us, who are ultimately supporting yourself through this journey, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's an extraordinary journey. Janine, thank you.
You're welcome, Goldie. Thank you.
I love you. You rock.
I love you, too.
Okay, so until next week, yeah, hang in there, get in that hot kitchen and burn, baby, burn. I love you guys.
Okay,
we'll talk
good
to
night.
You soon. Take care. Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
Bye. get started, and before you know it, under the